Welcome back. We'll have Dale Singer's conversation with Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro in just a moment. But first, these are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson today released a video statement about the Michael Brown police shooting, apologizing to Brown's parents and the African-American community. He said he was sorry that Brown's body was left in the street so long after the shooting. Jackson also apologized if anyone felt their rights were violated by police during the aftermath of the shooting. The union that represents hundreds of Metro bus and light rail operators, mechanics, and other employees is voting today on a new contract. The Bi-State Development Agency approved the agreement last week that includes pay raises and health care improvements for members of Amalgamated Transit Union Local 788. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. For the last 5 years, Chris Nicastro has served as Missouri's Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education. She announced her retirement earlier this month and said she'll step down at the end of the year. Nicastro grew up in the St. Louis area and is a former superintendent and civics teacher. Her tenure was marked by controversial decisions regarding school districts in North St. Louis County, including the Normandy School District, now known as the Normandy Schools Collaborative. Some lawmakers called for her resignation last year when the department was criticized for its handling of a consulting contract in Kansas City. Leaders of the teachers' union there and in St. Louis were also displeased with her work. However, the State Board of Education, the School Boards Association, and Governor Jay Nixon continued to support Nicastro. Earlier this week, St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Dale Singer spoke with her about a lot of the issues, including her tenure and the transfers provision that allowed students to transfer from an unaccredited to accredited school districts. This was the case in Normandy and Riverview Gardens. Dale first asked Nicastro why she's retiring.
We've reached a point where I feel like it's a good time for me, certainly personally, but also for the department and for public education to make this kind of a change. And right now, my focus is on helping the State Board of Education through the transition, making sure that when they determine who my successor will be, that I can provide any and all support to that individual.
So tell me how teaching civics matches up with the way civics really works. Talk about an education.
Well, yeah, I've commented to friends that this in recent years that I was very glad that I didn't have to go back and teach civics again, because clearly my perspective on government has changed somewhat by my experience working at the state level.
Where's the biggest disconnect?
Well, I think one of the biggest changes that we've seen in government is, and certainly in Missouri, I think the advent of term limits and campaigns and the way they've evolved and the influence of lobbying groups, all of those things I think have had an impact on our system. Some better, some worse, but clearly there's been an evolution. I would like to think that we still have good balance between the three branches of government, and I believe that that, in fact, is one of the things that makes our country solid and strong. And I also think it's one of those things that going forward will enable us to weather whatever changes in those things I just mentioned might occur.
So when you were hired as commissioner, coming from jobs as superintendent in Riverview Gardens and then in Hazelwood, the assumption was the board was looking for somebody to pay attention to what was going on in urban education, because I guess people could foresee some of the things that actually have happened over the time that you've been commissioner. Was that the charge that you were given? Was that kind of what the discussions were before you were hired or when you were hired?
You know, Dale, that was part of the discussion, and I think it was clear that I was the only, first and only commissioner ever who brought that urban perspective to the department. But I think what the State Board of Education was mostly interested in was change. And the mandate that I had from them was, and I'll quote one of the board members, to shake it up.
So right off the bat, very quickly after you became commissioner, you had the situations in both Wellston and in Riverview Gardens. Talk about Wellston in particular, because I know in hindsight a lot of people have said, well, what sense did it make to take a failing district and merge it with a struggling district?
Wellston was clearly on the plate when I got there. At that point in time, the state had actually taken over Wellston 5 years before that. And with a district that small, you would expect that after 5 years you were going to see significant improvement. The reality was there wasn't significant improvement. And so to my way of thinking, if you haven't made a significant difference, then you need to do something different. As far as the decision to attach Wellston to Normandy, at that point in time, under the existing law, the State Board of Education had three choices. One was to appoint a special administrative board, and they had already done that 5 years prior to that. The second option was to divide the district up and attach it to others, or the third option was to attach the entire thing to another district. In the case of Wellston, it didn't make sense to divide it up. They were simply too small, both geographically and in terms of population. We're talking about 400-some kids or so. So as we started evaluating then where did it make sense to attach them, the reality of that situation was there wasn't a good choice. It was St. Louis Public on one side, which was unaccredited. It was Jennings on another side, which was provisionally accredited and struggling significantly. It was University City, which was also provisionally accredited and struggling, and it was Normandy. We evaluated all those options, and we determined that it was probably best to go to Normandy for a couple reasons. One, there was a new superintendent there and a new team, and we had some confidence, or at least we hoped, that that new team and superintendent was going to be able to turn things around. We also looked at the fact that geographically, Normandy High School itself sits in the city of Wellston. Mm-hmm. So those were, in fact, for all intents and purposes, children from the same community, from the same neighborhoods. I personally didn't think 400 children was going to make that much difference, which it did not. But I did think that the leadership team there could turn things around, and I was hoping they could at least start to show some progress within those 2 years. It did not happen.
And in Riverview Gardens, they lost accreditation, and that must have been kind of difficult for you, having been there yourself.
It was one of the most difficult times and meetings, really, in my career. I think, you know, anytime you invest yourself in a community, particularly in a community that is in such desperate need of help in terms of providing quality education and equitable opportunity for education to kids, that you keep part of yourself stays there. So going back in that community, meeting with those folks, the local elected leaders and the parents and the teachers, I just saw a lot of friends that, you know, that was for many, many years my home. And North County, I continue to think of North County as my home. I spent the majority of my life there. And I continue to think of that as a place where my heart is still, and certainly as I think about what I'm going to do going forward, I hope I can be of service in some way to that community again.
So I want to get back to Normandy, but talk about how Riverview Gardens has done since the state took over with the SAB.
Well, it was a hard few years at the beginning. We put the SAB in place. I continue to have confidence in that group. I think they've done a good job. There were some struggles. One of the things we've noted is, first of all, there's a big difference between putting a special administrative board in place and a, quote, state takeover. Because when the State Board of Education puts a special administrative board in place, it in fact is not a takeover, it's a reassignment of authority. So the state board, when they do that, they reassign authority from the elected board to an appointed board. And then we don't exercise direct authority or direct oversight or directives of any kind about budget or personnel decisions or other things. That's, I think, in some ways the way it should be, and I think that certainly is closer to a local control model that a lot of people would like to see. In the case of Normandy, of course, we have put in a state oversight district, which is very different. And I think it has yet to be determined whether or not that's effective.
When the Supreme Court upheld the transfer law, did that kind of shake up things in your department? Because, I mean, I don't know what you had expected, but it certainly meant for a busy summer.
It did. When the transfer decision came down from the Supreme Court, we recognized pretty quickly that we needed to provide some structure for school districts. The St. Louis area districts communicated that they were prepared to take students and immediately to comply with the decision, and they were in the process of meeting to determine what that looked like and how they were going to manage that that activity. The department, in crafting our guidelines at that time, tried very hard to provide some guidance about what that might look like and how reasonably receiving districts could receive students from unaccredited schools without jeopardizing either their educational program or, and as much to much extent possible, the educational program at the sending district. Our guidance, I think, really provided that help.
Talk about the options you had for Normandy going into the school year and the decision that you made.
In the case of Normandy, we wanted more opportunity to do something else, something different. And Senate Bill 125 gave us that opportunity. So in crafting this state oversight district, we were trying to craft that space in a legal way that provided an opportunity for students to transfer from Normandy, should they choose, they or their parents choose to do that, or Riverview or any other unaccredited district, and still maintain the fiscal integrity of the sending school while adequately and fairly compensating the receiving school for their educational cost. We think we did that. The court disagreed. And I think that going forward, there may still be some substantive arguments over the validity of that decision. But in the meantime, I think it's important that we do everything we possibly can to get children settled in school. I think that the adults in this situation need to think about the timing of how we handle these legal questions and do it in a way that does not impact negatively the education of children. The last thing a child in Normandy or Riverview needs right now is a 2 or 3 or 4 month delay in their education or another transition. Many of our kids have too many transitions as it is.
That's outgoing Elementary and Secondary Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro talking with St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Dale Singer earlier this week. The Francis Howell School District is the only district to say they will not take students from unaccredited districts unless specifically ordered by the court. Nicastro says she is not optimistic that position will change. Coming up, we'll have more of Dale's conversation with Chris Nicastro. They'll address whether teachers should be talking about the shooting death of Michael Brown, how the Jennings School District in North County has been a bright spot, and about the ongoing controversy over Common Core standards in Missouri. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Welcome back. Now back to education reporter Dale Singer's conversation with outgoing Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro. Dale asked Nicastro whether the recent success of the Jennings School District in North St. Louis County, which recently gained full accreditation, can be replicated elsewhere.
It absolutely is replicable. They're doing a great job, and what they're doing is focusing on teaching and learning. Every single day, progress in a school district is based on what happens between a teacher and a group of students. And we can talk about all these other extraneous issues. We can talk about so-called wraparound services. We can talk about all of those things that are important, but when it gets right down to it, children are best served by a good teacher in front of the room who has high expectations for them and helps prepare them for success. That's what's happening in Jennings. I was very encouraged this year, Dale, to see statewide every single minority-majority district in the state either held their own, meaning, you know, within a couple of percentage points from last year, or made significant improvement, with the exception of Normandy, which, of course, went down. But if you look at the ones that made significant improvement in this area, it was Riverview, it was Jennings, it was St. Louis Public. And I think that's huge. It's something we've never seen before, and certainly a really good sign.
We've talked a lot about North County, and obviously the beginning of this school year was heavily influenced by what happened in Ferguson with Michael Brown last month. What's the best way for teachers to handle something like that?
I empathize to some degree with the decision not to address that issue immediately. And I think for leaders and teachers who are familiar with working with a population, particularly with the population in the North County area at that time, they understood that the trauma was still ongoing, that as long as you had active police forces on the streets of their streets, and as long as you had nightly demonstrations going on, that perhaps was not the time to be talking about what was happening objectively. That was, in fact, the time to reach out and fold the kids and make sure that the children, their parents, and others knew that their kids were safe in school, and that the school, in fact, was a place where they could go for refuge and for some peace. It was a place where they could find comfort. And so dealing with that level of trauma immediately, I think, was the most important thing, and the schools did an excellent job of doing that. There's no question that going forward, and even in recent weeks, I know that teachers and schools have been talking about what's going on, talking about the issues, allowing kids to interact about that from a scholarly and intellectual point of view. But it's also very difficult to separate that intellectual discussion from the emotional one and from the experience that kids have had. So I think going forward, it is going to be important. I know there have been some sample lesson plans that have been circulated and other things, some of which are very good tools, some of which are terrible. Frankly, people who are outside that environment and outside that situation and don't have a good understanding of the emotions and the cultural impact that those events had, I think are just not well prepared to help teachers teach about what happened.
I know a training session that you and I were both at Harris Stowe, that one day I was speaking with a counselor from Hazelwood who says, you know, I had a third grader girl saying she was worried about she was going to get shot when she was an adult. And I guess when you're worried about things like that, it's not real easy to concentrate on spelling and arithmetic, is it?
No, it's pretty difficult. At the same time, it is a place where that third grader can find safety. And I've seen so many kids over the years who go to school because it is, in fact, the only place where they can find some success and where they don't have to be afraid. And certainly that's another role that schools can play and do play. And a role that many communities are not asked to play.
Common Core is one of those situations, I guess, that what the state wants, what the feds want, what people in the state want, doesn't always coincide, and meetings are going to be in Jefferson City to try to change that. Do you expect whatever comes out of that to be significantly different than what the Common Core is?
Yeah, actually, I would question what you said, because the Common Core didn't come out of D.C., but Your point about the Common Core being a point of disconnect between our department and the public is clearly the case. In the case of Common Core, I think, I would suspect that it was largely due to process, which is what the law that was passed requires us to go back and do better. And certainly we're in the process of making that happen. The one really good thing that came out of the Common Core debate is that we have really, for the first time in my career, the active involvement of a lot of people in crafting Missouri standards. We've had standards in place in this state for decades, and I think that's one of those things that's appropriate at the state level, that we should have a common statewide set of expectations for what all kids should know and be able to do. Prior to this debate, that was always established by educators, and teachers and leaders and curriculum specialists and others would sit around and we would debate amongst ourselves what kids should know and be able to do. We might have a public meeting or two. We might even have a town hall meeting in a district, but generally those were done by, for, and with educators. Parents generally were not part of that conversation for the most part. I think some districts involved them, but generally they were not part of it. I think this time it's going to be very different. We do have parents engaged. We have communities engaged. We have other public officials engaged. And I have to believe that's going to be helpful. I do not believe for one minute that what comes out of this is going to be a set of standards for our Missouri's kids that are less rigorous than the Common Core. What they will be is clearly Missouri standards, and that's a good thing.
So let's do a summative assessment. If you had to, as a teacher, if you had to give your tenure a grade, what would you give yourself?
Oh, probably a C+.
Tough grader?
Yeah, I'm a very tough grader. I am a tough grader, and that's okay. I think again by nature, if you're never satisfied and you're always looking for something better and always looking to improve, you're never going to be satisfied with where you are. And I would hope that the next commissioner shares that same desire for excellence and high expectations.
And what advice would you give to the board when they're choosing that next commissioner?
What I just said. They need to make sure that that commissioner has a mindset that will continue to move Missouri forward and that will continue to drive Missouri toward being one of those top 10 performing states in the country. Once we get to the top 10, and I know we will, we've already made it there in a couple of measures. Once we get there, then we need to shoot for a higher goal. And that's what makes education what it is in this country. We're never happy with where we are. It used to be okay to get an eighth grade so-called graduation, and then we expected high school. And today we know that kids, to be successful, have to graduate twice. Once from high school and once from something else. And that's important for us to keep in mind.
So if you're going to write your successor a note and put it in the top drawer of your desk the last day you leave, what would it say?
it would say, take stock of where you are. I would also advise them to be strategic in their use of time. I can tell you my first year, for example, I made an attempt to meet personally with every legislator. I was not successful, but what I also discovered was that I had a list that was made up of over half people who were leaving that term. So all the work and all the meetings I did, I'm not going to say they were not meaningful, but clearly my time could have been more wisely expended.
That's Missouri's outgoing Elementary and Secondary Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro talking with St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Dale Singer earlier this week. After about 5 years, Nicastro is retiring at the end of the year. For more of the conversation, visit stlpublicradio.org. And join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, when he'll talk with guitarist Douglas Neat about his St. Louis roots and his St. Louis Classical Guitar Society appearance. He'll also take a look at a community concert for peace and unity in response to the events in Ferguson and beyond. And producer Alex Hoyer will visit with actor Martin Sheen. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with author and legal scholar Patricia Williams about racism and social justice, including her take on issues raised by that Ferguson shooting. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Erica Smith, Aaron Dorr, Emma Brown, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.